Welcome to Ibogonautics, unveiling the Iboga experience for first-timers and shamans alike. I'm your host, AM. I'll be quick. This is an introductory episode to the season, so I just want to briefly discuss what the episodes are, what we're going to talk about a little bit, who my guests are, what you can expect from this season, etc. This season was tough in terms of research and putting together show notes and questions. I really went outside of my comfort zone. My brain used a lot of glucose this season, and you'll probably use a lot of glucose as well just listening to some of our conversations. So yeah, there was a huge learning curve, especially for me studying philosophy. Now, this season is called Neuro and Plant Science. The astute listener will realize that the brain wasn't really talked about in season two, even though season two is called The Body on Iboga, and the brain is included in the body. But I felt that the brain needed to have a season in itself, and then I decided as well to combine it with a little bit of plant science and plant philosophy, actually. So the main questions guiding this season are, how does Iboga affect the brain? Which plant species produce Iboga-type alkaloids? Because it's more than just Tabernanthe Iboga. And how do scientists extract or liberate alkaloids from wood products? Before I get to season three and my guests, I'd like to just welcome two of my guests from season two. And these two episodes were released in January of 2021. Episode 2.7, Andres Gomez Emilson, is director of research at and co-founder of the Qualia Research Institute, and he's really given a lot of thought to psychedelic tracers, trailers, and stroboscopic phenomena. And for anyone who's taken Iboga knows that usually by the third day, fourth day, there's some really interesting tracer phenomenon that follows the initial flood dose. In episode 2.8, I speak with Art Sia. He is paramedic program director for the Public Safety Training Center at Santa Rosa Junior College in California. And we speak about first responder situations. So what happens if or when a first responder is called, when 911 is activated, especially if the first responder doesn't know what Iboga is, has never heard of Iboga? You know, what happens then? What happens if you're doing more of a, let's say, religious ceremonial context? How does the paramedic navigate that unknown territory pertaining to Iboga? Now, in season three, there are six episodes. In episode 3.1, called Salvia Iboga Connection, Kappa Opioid, I speak with Dr. Peter H. Addy, a renowned Salvia divinorum expert, and we discuss the neurophysiological and phenomenological overlaps between Iboga and Salvia, because both agonize the kappa opioid receptor, and few hallucinogens do this. So very interesting conversation. Then in episode 3.2, called Ketamine Iboga Connection, NMDA, I speak with Dr. Lawan H. Stewart, who's a ketamine clinician. He has a clinic in Oslo, Norway. And again, ketamine and Iboga both affect the NMDA receptor, or I should say they both antagonize this receptor. And ketamine is classed as a dissociative, whereas Iboga is technically a psychedelic that is dissociative-like. So we examine the same overlaps that Dr. Addy and I discussed in the previous episode. Episode 3.3 is called Non-Ibogaine Iboga Alkaloids. I speak with Dr. Sudhajit Sinha, and he wrote, as far as I'm concerned, a groundbreaking paper in 2011 outlining roughly 80 different alkaloids that share the same ibogamine skeletal structure. I really wanted to speak with him because ibogaine and its metabolite noribogaine get all the attention. That's what most people speak about. But we fail to recognize the fact that there are so many other alkaloids, even just slightly different from the Ibogaine structure that also have an effect on us when we take Iboga. In episode 3.4, called TA Extract and HCL, Methods and History, I speak with Dr. Chris Jenks, who, as far as I'm concerned, is the godfather of TA Extract. In my opinion, if it weren't for him, we would not have TA Extract as an alternative to traditional root bark consumption methods. In episode 3.5, called Alternative Botanical Sources of Ibogaine Alkaloids, I speak with German doctor by the name of Felix Krengel. He's a plant biologist. I would say he expands Dr. Chris Jenks's initial extraction and purification techniques, but in a more, let's say, high-tech laboratory setting, and he tests different solvents to, his words, liberate the alkaloids from the wood product. And his research mainly focused on the Tabernae Montana genus found in Mexico. In episode 3.6, called Psychedelic Phenomenology, or What Is It Like to Be a Psychedelic Plant, I speak with plant phenomenologist Dr. Michael Marder. And we speak about not only what is it like to be a plant from a plant's perspective, but then that conversation spills over into what is it like to be a psychedelic plant. And we talk about plant sentience, intelligence, and let's say non-human perspectives of experience, and what happens when those non-human perspectives are combined with our own human perspective. There will be more episodes in season 3. Those will come out in the months to come. Also, one last note about season 3. You can check out all the sources that I reference by simply going to the specific episode you're listening to, read the description of that episode, and you'll see a link back to my website where I write a post conversation article and some afterthoughts about the conversation with my guest. Also, I would like you to consider making a donation to Blessings of the Forest Iboga Sustainability Charity. I support them every year. I make a yearly donation. I made mine today. And I'm just going to reiterate some of the points that they made in the last weekend at the Universal Ibogaine Conference. They're doing a good job in trying to create a fair trade system for Iboga farmers, wherein the farmers benefit rather than private plantations. So as I've spoken with Jan Guignon before, one of the co-directors, along with David Nassim of the charity, they say that they want to increase public domain Iboga products, so that way the local farmers benefit from those sales. So BOTF, the charity, they help farmers get set up. They introduce protocols and they introduce ways to take care of the plants and also to think more long-term about Iboga product production, because it takes minimum 5 years for an Iboga plant to be ripe enough to harvest its alkaloids. Also, some personal updates. After releasing this season 3, I'm going to write another journal paper, which is really exciting. I love writing those. I have 2 papers right now being peer reviewed, and I'm going to dedicate the rest of 2021 to finishing my half-written book, and it's literally half done. I can't wait to finish it and share it with you and get your feedback. Also, if you're interested in this podcast or some of the ideas that I put out there, you can check out my website, amhouot.com. That's amhouot.com, which is basically my online business card or digital home. And there you'll find links to some social accounts like Twitter and LinkedIn, or for the academics listening today, academia.edu and researchgate.net. That's all I got for the introductory episode for season 3. Thanks for listening, for your support, and remember to be safe. The following is a disclaimer pertaining to the use of the Ibogaenautics podcast. Ibogaenautics is a podcast intended for entertainment purposes only. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional legal or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider or legal counsel with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or legal situation. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast. Neither Iboganautics nor any of its affiliates, sponsors, producers, guests, or hosts encourage the illegal use of controlled substances.